Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is a selection from the pericope just read. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned to fables. This is the word of the Lord. Today, we get to celebrate the life of a significant figure in early American Lutheranism, Henry Melchior Muhlenberg, or as he was known to his parents, Heinrich Melchior Muhlenberg. Many accomplishments could be listed by this pastor and preacher. Early on, he was an ardent opponent of slavery, and this while serving in Georgia. He was an ardent pietist who took seriously the condition of the believers under him, and he worked to ensure that Lutheranism prevailed in both Georgia and Pennsylvania, where there were questions in the congregations about being Lutheran. Although he was open to discussions and even preaching opportunities with Presbyterians and Anglicans, he created liturgies and worked on hymnody. His most significant achievement, however, was his vision of a synodical polity that would advise and consent, but would not actively interfere in the lives and work of its pastors, unless asked by both parties to do so. This, in turn, became a model for American Lutheran churches, including our own Missouri Synod. Furthermore, and this is important to us, he took the teaching of the Book of Concord seriously. But I would like to focus on one thing not commonly presented nor known about Muhlenberg, which fits with our text, that sets him apart from others who came to America from German Lutheran groups. He immediately, even in transit across the Atlantic Ocean as a very young pastor, did everything he could to learn the English language so that he could communicate the gospel not just to Germans, but to those who spoke English. This is in contrast to the practice of the early Missouri Synod some 90 years later, where it was said that there was enough to do with Germans, and where it took several generations and two world wars to more fully make the transition to English. Now, to be fair, I think C.F.W. Walther had a good point when he said that I can't really do theology well in English, so I'm not going to try. He also had another good point when he set up an English synod, because he did want to reach people in English and kept it away from the factious German Lutherans. So that was a good thing to do. This makes a good example for consideration of our text, that we should be ready at all times and in all places to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to whoever needs it. Now, as we consider these matters and ponder them seriously, we come to understand that there are times when we don't want to talk about Jesus, when we perhaps even act ashamed of our Lord and Savior, where we have not taken missed opportunities in our lives, and to our shame, we have allowed things to get away from us that should be addressed and spoken. And I'm sure if you search around your experience, you will find there are times when you probably should have said something to somebody about Jesus, and you probably neglected to do so. We don't always rise to the occasion, sometimes we sin. We really cannot use the excuse that somebody else will get around to it, although God will save his elect, and I'm sure that is true. We cannot be the Pharisee or the Levite who passes by on the other side of the road when the person needs help. If we do this, we sin. For all these things, there needs to be repentance and a plea for mercy. O Lord, have mercy upon us. And in these things, we need to be conscious of the forgiveness that we have received from Christ Jesus our Lord, so we may also console others with that same forgiveness. When I was in Boy Scouts as a youth, there was a motto, "Be prepared." We got prepared by learning various skills, building fires, tying knots, making camp, pitching tents, first aid, cooking, swimming, hiking, orienteering, and other neat things to do around the woods. The point is that there was really no life need at this moment for this training. At the moment it was learned, I certainly didn't learn first aid by making myself injured. But later, on many occasions, it came in really handy. And this is how we need to consider our opportunities to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to others. This is how we need to consider our text. Our text is inviting us to be prepared, to be ready, to learn Scripture, to practice and exercise communion, to remember our baptisms, to forgive and be forgiven, to live in Christ. We also need to remember we do none of this ourselves. It comes from Christ Jesus. But when we are new in Christ, we too are active in the work of the gospel. Our salvation is not through these works, but saved people nonetheless do good works. We need to prepare for the pressures and necessities of the gospel when times are easy, so that when times become difficult, we are ready with that comfort and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the good news of his sacrifice and resurrection for us as sinners. Whenever and wherever that need arises, we must be ready to give that good answer at all times and in all places. And that is why we are here now at the seminary, to learn, to impart, and yes, also in some cases to support others in what they do, that knowledge and that skill set that is needed to promote Christian faith and the kingdom of God in the hearts and minds of believers is able to be worked out throughout the years here. And yes, as good Lutherans, we know we are inadequate to this task. Sinners who are unworthy, we do things imperfectly, and yet God wants us to do the imperfect things imperfectly. He wants to come in and consecrate and fill in the gaps and perfect our imperfections. He wants to make our lives about loving each other and about caring for each other and about caring about the neighbor. And in so doing, we get to love our God through our neighbor. And yes, as unworthy, unequal people, God provides what we need and we will be forgiven and empowered to do things that are beyond ourselves alone, but are simple for God to do through his gracious and powerful word of love, faithfully applied by his servants in the field of this world. May God have mercy and accomplish his tasks through us. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.